Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Ran Sun and Chris Chmielewski, who are both senior product managers at Uber Freight. And today we're going to talk about reimagining transportation procurement, leveraging data and technology for smarter freight decisions. So there's a lot of waste and inefficiencies in many areas of transportation management. And one area that's getting a lot of attention these days, particularly after the COVID pandemic, is transportation procurement. So why has the time come to reimagine and transform transportation procurement? What factors are driving this need? And how can technology help transportation procurement become more efficient, effective, and automated? So those are some of the questions we're going to discuss in today's episode. And it's great to have Ran and Chris on the program to share their insights and perspective on this topic. So Ran, Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Hey there. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great. Well, you know, Uber Freight is, you know, such a big company these days. And you know, there's the Uber side, right? But there's the Uber Freight side. But even within Uber Freight, you guys do a lot of different things. So maybe as a way to get started, maybe Chris, you go first. Ran, you can introduce yourself as well. But just quickly, briefly, tell us a little bit about your respective roles and responsibilities there at Uber Freight.
Yeah, absolutely. I can go first. So once again, my name is Chris Chmielewski. I'm a senior product manager at Uber Freight. I've been with Uber for 7.5 years now, and I'm currently leading the development of our contract procurement tool, Uber Freight Exchange Contract. Over my time at Uber, I've had the opportunity to work on a lot of different areas of transportation logistics, from the brokerage side of the business, the TMS side of the business, and had a chance to touch a lot of different areas from shipment execution, visibility and risk prediction, and recently been very, very focused on the procurement space. Prior to my time at Uber Freight, I actually did work on the ride-sharing business at Uber as well. So I've been one of the folks who've come from legacy Uber into Uber Freight and now also working on the TMS side of the business. And prior to my time at Uber, I was working as a technology consultant. And that's how I kind of got my career in the space.
Great. You know, 7 years, you know, that's almost like an entire lifetime in the transportation world because so much happens, you know, year to year. So definitely a lot of perspective there over that time. Ran, how about you?
Yeah. Hey, guys, my name is Ran Sun. Also work with Chris as a senior product manager here at Uber Freight. I have not been at Uber Freight as long as Chris has. He is very much a veteran, but have definitely done a couple of years with Freight under my belt. And I've been on the marketplace technology side. So everything from I have worked on bundling spot freight into contracts, overseeing the entirety of the carrier booking experience. Those are a couple of examples of the things that I've overseen within marketplace, and now leading development for Uber Freight Exchange Spot. And Chris and I will talk about the two sides of that procurement platform, which we're super excited to chat about. And before Freight, I was working at Walmart e-commerce. Did several years of my career just being in the retail space and was a management consultant before that. But yeah, it's very excited to be here.
Great. Well, both of you bring, you know, a wealth of experience, not only within Uber Freight and in the Uber family of products and services, if you will, but also outside, right? That also, you know, provides, you know, the perspective from the shipper side or being on the other side, if you will. So Chris, let's dive into the topic, you know, now, and, to begin, I mean, we did a survey back in October of 2020, where 91% of our Indago supply chain research community members, and these are all, supply chain logistics professionals from manufacturing, retail, and distribution companies, 91% of them, either agreed or strongly agreed that the time has come to transform the traditional transportation procurement process. So I guess my first question is, are you surprised by those results? And then the second question is, why? Why is the traditional approach to transportation procurement in need of change and innovation?
Yeah, it's a great question. So overall, no, I'm not surprised by those results. When we talk to shippers, when we talk about, you know, the traditional procurement process, many shippers have historically had one annual RFP event where they procure rates and capacity commitments that they would lock in for a year, and they'd really just handle the one-off loads over to the spot marketplace. I think from my perspective, what we see a lot of shippers do is, you know, set up their route guides based on those RFP results and think they're set for the next 12 months. But as you know, if there's any shifts in the market or if there's carrier performance issues, the routing guide may deteriorate. And as a result, shippers find themselves routing unnecessary freight to the spot market that really results in unexpected increases in costs. And this makes it very difficult and challenging to accurately forecast transportation spend and overall, performance across the lanes in a shipper's network. So I would say, aside from just not having the checks and balances in place to effectively manage the uptime or to manage the route guide, the actual process of running an RFP for shippers and the process of finding spot procurement can often be really cumbersome and manual as well. So you have forecasting challenges, you have challenges managing the existing performance, and the whole process of running all this has historically been really manual. And we say it a lot, but many folks in the industry have been managing the procurement process the same way for many, many years. I still have conversations every day with shippers who are still managing, mini bid events or RFP events or spot events through email and Excel. This is just resulting in a lot of manual back and forth communication threads with carriers. There's a lot of copying and pasting of data across systems, which is also inefficient. And then aside from this operational burden, without using technology, it makes it really challenging to go back and look at all of your data in one central spot. It makes it difficult to assess historical trends, to make more informed decisions, to extract those insights, which really just makes the entire decision-making process a bit more challenging. Going back to your question around, is there an opportunity here, to improve transportation procurement? I'm not surprised at all. Once again, just outlining all those factors around the challenges with the legacy annual RFP and the lack of tools and technologies to help shippers effectively manage these workflows and make smarter decisions.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And in my opening remarks, I talked about, how the spotlight has been put on this, particularly after the COVID pandemic, because as we all know, late 2020, 2021, when, demand was high, capacity was tight, it became a real challenge for, for shippers. And you talked about routing guides may degrade. I would say that they will always degrade, right? If you don't really manage them and keep in, and that's kind of one of the realities. And so I always remember, when shippers would say, okay, we conducted our annual procurement bid, we're going to save 8% this year or 10% this year. And they don't realize, or some of them do, but many of them don't realize that those are just planned savings, right? And if they were actually go back by the end of the year and see what actually happened, how many, whether it was people not shipping, via the routing guide, right? So maverick spending, if you will, or carrier performance issues where they were dropping down to the second, third, or fourth tier in their routing guide and so forth. So that 8-9% planned savings actually turned out to be 1% savings, or maybe they were even in the red, as a result. And you're right. I mean, I think the most innovative tool many companies have used for transportation procurement is the Excel spreadsheet and email, back and forth with their carrier base. And I think unfortunately that's still the reality at many companies, today. So Ryan, let me go to you now. I mean, I talked about COVID. I mean, obviously the transportation market is very different today than it was, just 4 years ago. But I mean, what factors are making, change and innovation in transportation procurement arguably even more important today?
Yeah, I think a big thing, Adrian, is talking about the macro environment and being super sensitive to what's going on here. I mean, everyone knows, right? We've been in a soft market for this extended period of time. You've had rates that have bottomed out. You've had minimal tender rejections with good service. But what we're hearing from our most sophisticated shippers is that they're seeing the fits and starts in the data. And then they think it's very fresh on their minds what happened in the COVID pandemic, right? Where rates were sky high, capacity was fleeing. And so these super sophisticated shippers, they're being proactive. They're asking questions like, what new tools are out there? It's been 4 years since the pandemic. There's a lot of technology advancement that has been made. What new tools are out there that can really help me streamline procurement? So that I'm not getting caught in another storm like I was a couple of years ago. And of course, this means you have cost-effective contracts in place. But I think going further than that, we're talking about shippers wanting a holistic overview of how their contract and their spot procurement channels play together and of being nimble enough to be able to leverage both and switch easily between the two rather than getting stuck into contracts that are, for X number of months, X number of years, and not being able to leverage spot when it becomes advantageous to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think, this perspective that, and I think, Chris, you mentioned this, right? There was the old thinking was, okay, procurement is a once a year event that we do. It's going to take us 3 months because it's all this emails back and forth and the time to, all the labor required to analyze the data and do multiple rounds and everything else. I mean, that's the historical process. So nobody wants to do that, multiple times a year. So it was the mentality of, hey, this is a once a year thing. We're one and done, and we'll look at it again, next year. I think that's the old school thinking. And I think right now, the more sophisticated shippers, like you were saying, realize that this is in many ways a continuous business process, right? Where you're really analyzing real-time data on rates and capacity. You're analyzing real-time carrier performance data. Obviously, your business might be changing. You might have made an acquisition. You might be acquiring new customers. So your lanes are also changing. So this is not a static environment. So I think the more sophisticated shippers are really saying, hey, we really need to move from this once a year, one and done environment to a more continuous business process. And it sounds like what you're hearing from shippers is, we need a platform and we need some kind of technology to help us, operationalize that kind of continuous business process. Chris, your thoughts on that or on just, what makes change and innovation imperative today in transportation procurement?
Yeah, I agree with everything you outlined there. It really is a continuous process. It's something that shippers want to consistently go back and revisit. But if we talk about our friend email and Excel, if that's extremely challenging, time consuming to do, that's going to be a very difficult operational process for shippers to implement. This is why shippers are looking for technology to help simplify the process. And free up some of their team's time. So a lot of our shippers have limited resources, and they need to make this process as efficient as possible. So, first and foremost, I think this is where technology really helps. Automation eliminates a lot of that manual work that's required in terms of setting up a bid or collecting and consolidating rates from, a dozen or two dozen different carriers. By using technology, you can get these bids set up, launched in minutes. And track real time how the bids are progressing and collect that data in one single spot. In addition, I talked about this earlier, but building on data consolidation, you want to have one single view to easier compare the options across your different carriers that are in your network. So if you are running, let's say, a seasonal RFP, and you have 24 different email threads going, it can make it really difficult to cross compare the data and see who you should ultimately work with, who's provided you the best performance in the past. So once again, saving that time, allowing you to be more nimble as an organization. And the last piece, this goes without saying, but everybody's looking to use data to make a more informed decision. Shippers would think about how they can use technologies to evaluate all their options that are on the table. And whether it be benchmarking, whether it be mapping out different types of scenarios or comparing contract versus spot opportunities, their technology should help guide them in the right direction that really helps them achieve the result that they're looking for within the organization. So, I think technology is playing a pivotal role. And, while the legacy process of Excel and email may have worked for that single event in the past, if you do want to be more dynamic, you need to be efficient as an organization, and technology can help you achieve that.
So, Chris, are you really saying that that transportation professional that has an Excel spreadsheet with all these macros built in and 50 tabs open, that there's a better way, to that? Because I mean, they may have some argument. I mean, they've spent years developing this Excel spreadsheet, right?
It's funny you bring that up because I had that exact same conversation with shippers. And there are some people who've actually built that extremely, let's say, robust spreadsheets with all the different macros and tabs built out, and it's been working. But what's interesting when you have those conversations, I do think people are being more open now to realize there is a better way and there's that next level of unlock. And we may talk about this a little bit more in the future, but I actually think the barrier to entry for shippers to try new technology for one of their seasonal bids or for a new set of lanes that have popped up, They can very quickly start to realize those gains without having a drastic shift within the organization. So there are opportunities to take some baby steps, but shippers are, I will say, starting to see that opportunity to help simplify their lives and look to change their processes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think one of the hidden risks that people don't think about sometimes is that, with, I mean, I was half joking with that Excel spreadsheet, but the truth is, if that planner leaves the company or retires, all that, tribal knowledge goes with them, right? So then the next person looks at that spreadsheet and goes, "What the heck is going on here?" Because it might have just been, they might not be, it might have made sense to that person who originally developed it, but not to the average, other person. So let's talk about the better mousetrap, right? The more innovative, better ways of doing it, more efficient ways of doing it. And obviously, this is an area that both you, Ran, and Chris are day in and day out working on from a technology side. So Ran, I mean, how do these factors motivate you to, again, build that alternative to the giant Excel macro and email to develop, your own procurement platform?
Yeah, and I just want to say no shade on Excel sheets. I mean, Chris and I are ex-management consultants. We've done a lot of things in Excel, and I love that tool. But I think when we talk about the next level, right? I'll just give a little bit of insight into what we were thinking when we were creating our own procurement tool. So, as you know, Uber Freight acquired Transplace a couple of years ago, and we brought on their industry-leading TMS as a result of the acquisition. And when we looked at the product portfolio between the combined companies, we identified procurement as where we really thought we can drive extra efficiency, efficacy, and automation for our customers. So I think just to give you kind of like a tidbit of how we were thinking, we had this vision where we looked at the New York Stock Exchange, right? And how it was able to bring both buyers and sellers together in a neutral area with increased transparency and increased efficiency of executing transactions. And that was kind of our inspiration. We looked at that and we're like, how can we bring a concept like that to freight procurement? And so that was the impetus for Uber Freight Exchange. We wanted to create this technology-enabled marketplace for shippers to be able to contract with carriers on both contract and spot freight. And I'll talk a little bit about the motivating thesis behind our procurement tool. In our mind, there are three components to make up a very effective procurement system. One, a robust supply and a demand network that can allow shippers and carriers to fill in the gaps in their network and be able to drive efficiency, increase utilization for both of their operations. Secondly, a platform that helps the user make informed decisions to optimize for cost and service outcomes that's easy to use, easy to understand. One would think those last two things shouldn't need to be talked about, but you look at traditional B2B software and they're not necessarily always consumer grade, right? They're not like an Airbnb. They're not going to be like an Intuit TurboTax. And how can we bring that same kind of consumer grade experience to a traditional B2B platform? And then finally, the third piece to our investment thesis was like to back up that platform, how can we utilize data that's op constantly optimizing the technology of that system in order to drive all these outcomes that we were talking about? And so when, that was our thesis, and then we thought about, okay, what makes us as Uber Freight particularly well equipped to deliver on these promises to our users, right? And I think one, from the industry leading TMS that we acquired, we're working with the industry's leading shippers that can go be that demand part of that network I was talking about. And then on the flip side, the supply side, we have one of the largest carrier bases in North America. So right there, you have that supply and demand network that was the first piece of our procurement thesis. And then secondly, I think it bears mentioning that we have our roots in developing innovative, best-in-class tech that can enhance outcomes. I'll just give you an example, upfront pricing on spot, right? Traditionally, everyone knows spot has been very much an auction process. You start an auction, you set it up for 2 hours, you invite your carriers, and everyone starts placing their bids. But you look at a consumer site like eBay, for example, and they've had buy it now pricing for decades, I think, at this point. But on B2B in freight, we really didn't see that type of technology come until the rise of digitally native logistics providers. And so the advantages of upfront pricing that people have been able to experience, right? You're reducing a 2-hour auction process to minutes. It's offering a certain level of price transparency that a blind auction doesn't, both for shippers and for carriers. And we've proven through experimentation that it's a highly effective lever to manage costs. And so that's kind of the overarching journey of what led us to look at our product portfolio and say, procurement is a space where we think we can really make a difference. And why, what particularly about our company and our competitive advantages did we think that we could leverage to really deliver on those promises?
And I think those three factors that you talked about are all very important. I'm particularly biased towards the first one, right? Right. Basically, the network, because I've been an evangelist for network effects in logistics and particularly in transportation management. Way back from all the way back to 2003, and when I was talking about this in 2003, nobody knew what the heck I was talking about, and sometimes I felt like I didn't know what the heck I was talking about. And now, in the more recent years. I think that's coming. I think more and more of the market is recognizing the power of the network and what you can do with these network effects. So I think that to me, that is. I always go back to that famous Marc Andreessen quote where he talked about software is eating the world, and I've written this a few times. I said, I think Marc needs to update that quote because it's not software that's eating the world; it's software and networks that are in the world. And I think some of the things you talked about, even the last point you talked about in terms of buy it now pricing and having all this wealth of data, that's really enabled because you have a network, right? You have a large network of shippers and carriers together on a common platform, and you've got all this data transacting on there. And I think that's been the biggest development, I would say, over the past, decade, right? And we saw that in the consumer world, right? With the Facebooks of the world and the LinkedIns of the world. And what can be done there to create network effects and connectivity between different parties using a common internet-based platform. And I think in the transportation world, you're seeing that with what you guys are doing, some of your other peers in the industry are doing in terms of saying, we've got this large network of carriers, we got these large networks of shippers. Now we're able to, unlock opportunities for improvement and benefits, in this case, particularly in procurement, because of the network. Which I guess leads me to my next question, and Chris, the inevitable ROI question, right? Because that's always what business leaders want to know is what kind of ROI or benefits can shippers expect to achieve by kind of adopting this technology enabled approach. So what's been your experience? What's been the experience of some of the companies you've worked with there?
I'll start with just outlining some of the clear ROI, particularly on the contracting side of the house, and then I'll kick it over to Rand to outline Spot. But Uber Freight Exchange Contract is a platform we brought to the market about a year ago at this point. And the biggest benefit our shippers are seeing right now is really the ability to once again streamline and simplify that bid process, whether it be a mini bid or an RFP. And by uniting those carriers and shippers on a single platform, it really cuts down on a lot of that communication time, that setup time, the actual process to kick off and run these bid events, freeing up operational resourcing within the company. Not only is it helping shippers save time, though, but shippers are also expressing that they're able to make faster and smarter procurement decisions. If they're seeing that something is changing in the market or that they have an underperforming lane, they're able to act on that faster. They don't have this lane that's sitting, lingering, potentially underperforming for an extended period of time, but they can actually make decisions and move much faster to help them course correct as needed. And really what this unlocks is just allowing shippers that we've talked about to be more nimble and dynamic with their transportation procurement. And instead of waiting every 12 months to reassess the state of their network, and to do a retro on the previous year and where things could have gotten better, they can see where there's opportunity in real time, and they can take action right away, and they can reprice those underperforming lanes, or they can go live with a new set of business on a new set of lanes quickly and efficiently. So all of this is not only saving operational time, it's allowing them to identify gaps in their network much quicker. It's allowing them to course correct efficiently, and all this drives improvements to service and cost savings for their transportation, and provides better service for their customers as well. So that's really kind of what we're seeing, what we're hearing from our customers on the contract side. But I'll kick it over to Rand to talk about a little bit of what they're seeing on the spot side as well.
Yeah, so on the spot side, we launched about a year after the contract side. So right now, where we are, we're in the process of rolling it out to all of our managed transportation customers, and we're in that process of getting everybody migrated. But I think some early concrete examples I can share. For example, we had one shipper who used to be doing all of this through email, specifically sharing the pallet counts because they wanted to try to run LTL freight. And just by making pallet count a structured load field, and what I mean by that is that there is a specific field for it on the carrier side so that carriers can see, oh, there is X number of pallets attached to this load. It was able to unleash a whole bunch more LTL freight that the shipper could run, and that drove a whole bunch of cost savings. Just a very small, simple, fix like that. And then so it's, and I've talked about upfront pricing that we just rolled out a couple of weeks ago. Really excited to see what that's going to bring for our shippers. But we as so far, we've moved tens of thousands of spot loads already. Shippers are tapping into these new tools that they didn't have before. I'll give some more examples. Like they're able to show carriers detailed load notes, like hazmat class, temp control, so that carriers can really provide the most accurate bid, and they're limiting this back and forth that previously used to live in email. One other thing, we previously carriers, if they ever wanted to edit their bid or delete their bid, they'd have to call up their rep, say, I want to make this edit. A lot of operational time just spent doing that, right? And now it's all self-serve, and that's saved hours of operational time that translates into labor dollar savings. And we're in the process of rolling out even more features, like allowing carriers to provide bids for alternative days, and then allowing shippers to not just procure bids, but also compare those bids to contract rates that they have on the lane in order to make that best cost and service decisions. So all of these new features, we're super excited to be able to measure and see what the full benefits are when we're at full scale. But as I said, TM, our managed trans customers, are getting the first access. But if we have any listeners that are not managed trans, but still interested in a new spot solution, we'd still love to talk and go through all this.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think a lot of the focus, I mean, shippers always focus on cost and their freight spend, right? And controlling and managing that as effective as possible. So that's always going to be part of the ROI. But I think there's two areas that, and you alluded to one of them here, that is not directly related to freight spend itself, like how much should we pay on these on this load or this lane, but it's labor savings. I mean, if you're able to put a dollar amount on the amount of time it's taking your transportation team sending emails back and forth, dealing with some of these things, so if you're able to, you gave up the, you gave the example before, you're going from perhaps hours to minutes, right? And if you ever put a dollar sign on that, you can just see how much you're going to be saving on labor. And we all know that, there's labor constraints out in the market, right? So you want those people doing more value-added work than, sending emails back and forth and that's copy and pasting data from from spreadsheets. I mean, that's number one as part of the ROI, I think, that I think some folks might overlook. And the other one is obviously customer service, customer experience, right? Obviously I'm not saying transportation professionals aren't focused on service because that's a key metric for them, especially if they've got on time in full, if they're servicing the Walmarts of the world and so forth. That's going to be a key metric for them. But obviously there's a big, again, financial impact there as well, because you can get hit with penalties, you can get hit with detention fees, you can get hit, you can lose a customer for life, if your service continues to degrade. So there's a lot of, part of the business case, part of the ROI is in those things as well. So what I always tell shippers is think beyond just the specific dollars and cents of how much you're spending on freight, but there's a lot of more categories that all of this, that rolls up into the overall value, proposition. So Rand, we've covered a lot of ground here. We're kind of a little bit short on time. So maybe as a way to wrap up, and Chris, I mean, you can add your two cents as well if you'd like. But Rand, as a way to wrap up, I mean, change is always difficult, right, for companies. We always talk about change management being one of the big hurdles, even if companies know they need to do it, right? So what's the first step to getting started with all this that we talked about today? I mean, how can companies overcome this resistance to change hurdle when it comes to transportation procurement?
Yeah, I think the simplest first step is being curious about what's out there, about looking, recognizing potential problems in your own process and thinking, is there anything out there right now that can potentially help me solve this problem? Go ask questions, go sign up for demos. There are so many new offerings out on the market right now, and it's really no skin off your back to just take a look and see if that's a good fit for your company.
I love that. Be curious. I think that's a great. I might steal that, and that might be my theme for 2025 to tell everyone in the ecosystem, be curious. Chris, anything to add?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I hit on this a little bit earlier, but I think when you look at your network, you can also think about ways to pilot change. You don't have to do everything all at scale at one time. Perhaps, I'll use a Minibit example. Maybe you have a small set of lanes that you want to reprice. Think about trying a different way to run it. Try to use software technology, see how it makes your life easier. Very little risk on the shipper side. I think some of the fear of implementing a big change within the organization is the amount of risk that comes with it. So I think there's opportunities to look for smaller segments of your network that you can try to leverage new technology solutions to really help minimize that risk, test out what the ROI you're seeing internally, and then, take a step back and think about, okay, if we actually scale this change internally, what does that mean from a total dollars perspective across our broader network? And I think shippers are oftentimes, very surprised about how like little training and ramping up there is on some of these new tools. And two, once they do have that good experience, it's actually quite easy to now take a bigger step for the next bid or for the next spot auction that you want to run. So I think, really think about what parts of the network you're willing to try some new tools and processes out, get a feel for it, and then when you're comfortable, push forward from there.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think, I think sometimes companies think, they have to do a wholesale change. And it's very risky and time consuming and so forth. But you're right. I mean, you can literally start very small here, with a set of certain lanes, a set of carriers that you have a good working relationship, and test it out. I think the other important thing is, because I mean, a lot of the resistance to change obviously comes from the people in the front lines that have been doing this for many years and obviously bring a lot of experience and knowledge, to the process. It's really educating them or involving them in the process and answering that question, like, what's in it for me? Like, why is this going to be better for me as someone that's going to be leading procurement efforts moving forward? And I think, the more that you can involve those people into the process, and answer that question, I think you're going to get more, buy-in as well. So Ran, Chris, again, I think this is a very important topic, a very timely topic. I think we covered a lot of ground, like I said before, provided some great insights and advice for our listeners. So I would just want to thank you again both for making the time to be with us today.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Adrian. Really appreciate you taking the time. And if anybody on the call does want to learn more, don't hesitate to reach out to Rand or myself. We're always happy to chat about procurement in more detail.
Great. Well, on that point, again, thank you all for joining. And like Chris said, if you've got a question for him or Ran, and you could either and you're watching this episode either on Talking Logistics or at the Uber Freight website, feel free to post it there, and they'll be more than happy to respond via that medium. Again, thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.